I'm Barbara Ginty, your host, and I'm also a CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, that's fine. No one seems to know what it is. That's why I say it at the beginning. So for those that keep hearing it every week, I say it because most people don't know what it is. So it means that we study financial planning. It's all the fun stuff about personal finance. And I'm here with my guest, and your name is?
Sonia.
Love that name.
Thank you.
We can say that you chose it because you like a show.
A certain show
that has a name.
In New York City.
Oh, and so that's perfect. So I always like to say how old everyone is and where you live.
I've been practicing this. It's hard for me to get this out of my mouth because it's new, but I am 43 in a couple weeks.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
43.
Yes.
Wonderful. And you live in New York City?
I live in New York City. I was born and raised.
Oh, you
are? Yes, I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So real.
A real.
You don't exist.
You're a real New Yorker.
A unicorn,
yes. You are a unicorn.
I feel like.
My dad doesn't live here anymore, but he has really driven home the point that I'm a country girl because I grew up upstate. And
like, Yeah. Not the same thing.
He's like, no. That's exactly
and also
what he
these
says.
People now with boots, like, all. You know, I walk through, like, I'm one of those, like, shaking my cane in the air. Like, when you walk through Williamsburg, I'm like, this did not exist. Like, what is this? I don't understand. And, like, just because Lena Dunham told you it was cool to live in Bushwick, like, it's still garbage. Like, it's too much money. I don't get it. But anyway.
So you're a true New Yorker.
I'm a true New Yorker, yes.
And I'm really excited because you're our first business owner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yay.
So tell me, so you own your own business?
Yes. I'm a floral designer. And it's hard to explain because most times when people ask what you do, they're like, oh, do you have a flower shop? And then I have to go into this whole lengthy explanation because then I sound like this flower bandit, you know, just a Sherpa who's carrying things all over the city, but it's basically what I do.
Do you drive? Do you have a car? I don't have a car,
but in the summers, I use Zipcar.
Okay.
It just doesn't make sense financially
to have a car in the city.
It's too much of a headache.
Okay.
And I only really, truly need it for, like, the summer weeks during the summer when I drive back and forth to the Hamptons for work.
Okay.
So
you do design. So you don't have a flower shop, you do design.
Do
you have a physical location or no?
No. I mean, most of the work that I do are in my clients' homes.
Okay.
So week to week, I'll do home deliveries where I'll go to their residence and I'll do arrangements depending upon what their deal is.
For.
Yeah. And then if I have something bigger, like a wedding or an event, I work from home. I have a big enough apartment that I work in my own apartment.
Okay.
I work with a bunch of event design companies. So
sometimes
if I need it, I can use
their
studio space.
Okay.
So it just depends on what it is that I'm looking for. But mostly projects that I'll take on for myself will be, manageable enough that I can do it, from my apartment.
That's great. So it's like for running a business, that's. No overhead.
Well, except for the actual flowers.
Except for the flowers. The flowers are expensive.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
So do you go to the flower market?
I go to the flower market every week.
I've always wanted to go to the flower market.
It's my favorite thing, actually, to take someone to the flower market for the first time.
Because
they're so, like.
All about a barter here.
This is awesome! You know, because it's so overwhelming. You walk through and you're
I would love to go to the flower market. Can I go to the flower market?
Yeah, but you have to get up early.
I can do that.
Okay.
I used to be on the crew team in college. And I worked on Train 4, so I can
it's
do
open
this.
From 5 to, like, 11:30-ish.
Yeah. 5 a.m. is doable.
It's rough.
Well, we have to
get with that,
really.
Yeah, but it's very cool. I actually was just saying the other day that I'm still excited about it.
Right. Because how long have you been doing this? So how long have you had your own business?
So I have been officially 100% on my own for 7 years.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Business is typically... I'm sure you read the stats, but they fail more often than not, and it's usually in the first few years.
Yeah. I'm very fortunate. What I originally was doing, I worked in high-end residential interior design.
Okay.
And so the clients that I had working at the firm are still clients that I have now.
Oh, that's great.
And then those people have sort of passed me around to all of their friends because, you know, Upper East Side Mafia. Like, they are like, oh, I heard she did this for Lauren. Can you come do this for me? And they're like, go ahead. Like, spread me around, ladies. It's fine. So, you know, I'm in this very specific echelon of people who can afford
to
the luxury of having flowers in their home on a weekly basis. cases. So.
And, like, custom designed flowers. Not just, like, any flower.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic.
And I'm also very lucky because I've worked with these people in their homes for, you know, at least over a decade, some of them. They trust me, so I don't ever have to, you know, they don't question me. They let me do whatever I want. So for what I do, that is very lucky.
Yeah, that's amazing for to have full artistic control.
Yeah, which is also why I don't do a lot of weddings, because weddings are such a pain in the ass.
Well, because I feel like the bride tells you what.
The bride, because then that's when everyone thinks that, oh, they know what your job is, and or they want to, like, be a part of it somehow, and they have lots of opinions, and I just want to, like, cut my skin off and set it on fire. Like, it's not fun.
Like, okay, let's just keep talking about this for months and months and months. Like, I want to die. Like, it's not, no. Not worth it.
Like, most of what I do in their homes, nobody questions me, nobody asks me anything. Or their husbands are all, like, Goldman Sachs guys. So I do, like, their corporate dinners.
Okay.
And they can literally give a shit. They're just like, please, just make it look nice. And, like, they don't want to talk to me about, like, the meaning of a peony for 2 weeks.
They're like a bride might want to.
Here's some money, throw some flowers on the table.
Like, this is my dream. So, that's amazing.
So when I'm asked to have to actually do it, where I have to talk to somebody and have the pretend dialogue where I'm so excited as you are about this rose, I'm like, I limit that to, like, a couple a year. It's not fun.
It makes total sense. And so this is great. So how much, like, I know with owning your own business, because I own my own business, your income fluctuates, right? It's not,
yes.
Not like
yes.
A paycheck. So what would you say, like, on average you make, like, monthly?
Okay.
Or, like, what you're living on monthly, maybe. However you want to do it.
Well, I mean, the home deliveries and that sort of aspect of my business, which is
more consistent,
okay. Is about $2,400 a month.
Okay, great.
$2,400, $2,600.
Yeah, $2,400, $2,600. Okay.
And then on top of that, it really fluctuates. Like, sometimes I'll get a gala.
Wow.
Right, and then I'll, like, suddenly have an extra, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 that I made that month. Or sometimes I won't have any. Like, usually January, February are ghost towns, but nothing going on.
Okay.
And that's usually when I panic about money. I call it the February scaries, because then I'm like, oh my God, we
people have Sunday scaries and you have, like,
February scaries. Because it's like, you're coming off the holidays where it's insane and you're like, oh, I'm so glad for a break. But then the break just keeps going and you're like, oh no, what if I never get another job again? What if I have to sell carnations in the highway? Like, what do I, like,
you
I don't.
Just have nightmares when you're, like, walking down this, like, highway.
Like, Flores, like, you know, it always just comes through. Like, something always happens. Something always comes through. I can't explain it. And there's no.
But you don't know. So that's.
I don't know.
That's
so I
the
can't
hard
really
part
say.
About owning your own business versus having a paycheck. You just don't know. So,
so
it's good
I've
that you have that consistent part.
Yeah. So it's good to have that, because that at least lets me, like, be able to, like, put my head on the pillow.
Breathe.
And go to sleep.
Yeah.
I would say if I had to pick on average, with the extra that I will add on to the 26, I would say it's probably, like, around 35 to 4.
Okay.
A month.
That
for
you
for an average.
For an average. Okay, so that's good. And then what about, like, debt, savings, all that jazz?
Well, as of August of last year, I have completely paid off my student loan debt.
That's amazing.
I know. I need someone to follow me around with, like, horns whenever I say that.
Like, someone with, like, a trumpet, like
so I've paid that off fully, and I
that's a huge
got
accomplishment.
Sally Mae off my ass.
Thank God, she's
I know.
A bitch.
She's that bitch has been trailing me for 20 years.
I was gonna ask, how long did it take you to pay him off?
So it's a little. I can't remember the exact amount because I was trying to think of that. Like, I definitely deferred it for a little while when I first graduated.
But they're from undergrad, so you graduated at, like, 20.
It's from undergrad, yeah.
22?
So how old are you when you graduate?
Yeah, 21, 22.
Yeah, because then when I went to Parsons, I paid as I went with that, because then I had the knowledge and the understanding of what this means, and then it was, like, a whole new day.
So you did an undergrad and then went to Parsons?
Yes.
Okay. And that's where you did
design, yeah.
Got it. Okay. So, yeah, your undergrad then, where'd you go to school for undergrad?
Delphi University.
Okay. So, yeah, so you've been paying those loans for...
So, almost 20 years.
Yeah, that's
20
a long
years.
Time. And how much was the original amount, you know?
I think it was about $33,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so it took a long...
It took a long-ass time.
Yeah.
And the only reason why, I mean, I would have paid it off actually right around now, but I paid a huge chunk around the middle of last year, which is actually kind of sad, but I got, my mother passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I had, it wasn't like a huge sum of money, but it was just like several thousand dollars. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. And I just felt, obviously I was not happy. And I was like, you know what? You know, it would make me happy. It would make her happy. I'm going to pay this off. I'm just going to take all of that. I'm going to put it into my debt and I'll be free.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's what I did with it.
That's a good use of it.
Yeah. And the credit card debt, I went through a loan, like a debt consolidation, not a consolidation, I don't even know what it's called. Sort of like they help negotiate.
They negotiate on your behalf.
Yes.
With the credit card companies to get you a lower payment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a private company.
It's a private company. So yeah. I did that and that took 2 years.
Oh, wow. I've never had anyone who's gone through that. What was your experience?
Well, for the most part, it was positive. Okay. I was
And how
very
did you find
skeptical.
It? Like, what? Like, did someone tell you to do that? Did someone give you a recommendation?
You know, honestly, I feel like it was just, I was bombarded with the same ad.
Okay.
The same company.
And you know, they do that all the time. I don't know why, but my friends have all had babies, and so I get, like, all these, like, diaper commercials. And I'm like, I have no kids.
I'm very susceptible to that stuff. Like, I'm your target audience. Like, I just bought a mascara from some rando company that was just, like, targeting me on Facebook. And I love it, by the way. But I'm like, I'm the girl that I'm like, what's this?
Yeah, so they were targeting you.
Yeah.
And they got you.
Yes.
Okay.
But I had, the thing is, like, I had such an emotional, baggage with both of those debts, as I think a lot of people have.
Well, because you carry it around.
Ties.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotional ties with it.
My parents, when I originally started school, we had all sat down and we were like, okay, we're going to do this together as a team, like three-way split. And then by the time I graduated, they were like, just kidding. And so, yeah, so I did not expect that I was going to have to carry as much of the load as I did.
Right.
And then in order for me to graduate, there was a $5,000 balance that needed to be paid. And so it was my dad's responsibility, but his credit was so bad, so I co-signed a loan for him.
Okay.
And then he didn't pay it back.
Your dad didn't pay it.
Yeah, so I started off my adult life
with bad credit,
with just destroyed credit, and then an enormous debt. So I had such animosity, like I don't actually,
angry.
Yeah, I don't actually speak to my dad. Like I'm just now starting to speak to him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I had a huge emotional sort of,
resentment
of having to pay that money back. And then the credit card debt was, I was engaged to be married and we called the wedding off 3 months before the wedding.
Oh my gosh.
And so I had put everything on that credit card. And then I quit my job and then I didn't work for like 6 weeks because I was like Miss Havisham and I was like miserable because my wedding just got called off. And
oh my gosh. So you didn't call it off?
Okay, I found out you cheating.
So that was not a good time to be Sonia.
No, it was not a good time to be
Sonia. That sounds terrible. When did that happen?
So it was 10 years ago.
Okay.
So I was under a lot of, like, I just felt like this mountain that I could never, ever,
get out of.
Because
student loans never go away.
Student loans never go away. This credit card thing, like, I was paying the minimum balance on it for...
So you pay for life then.
So fucking long. And I was like, I just never saw the end of the tunnel with this. And so now...
And it was, like, debt from, like, a terrible emotional experience, too.
Yeah.
Like, for both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't like, well, I went to Greece, I had a great time, and so it sucks I'm paying it, but yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a little bit with that because I feel like I didn't really have a proper financial education from either of my parents, and so I did a lot of what my therapist calls, like, your fuck it mentality, where you're just like, you know, fuck it, I'm going to put it on my card and I'm going to go to the Bahamas with my friends because I deserve it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even though you're like, you owe $35,000. What are you doing? Why?
Like,
you know,
like
there was no, just, I had magical thinking about it. I was like, oh, you know, maybe one day one of my clients will be like, you're the best. Your flowers are so pretty. How much debt do you have? I'll just give you 30 grand. I'll be like, oh, thanks. Or, you know, I don't know. Like, I just have, like, oh, maybe I'll win a scratch off or win the lottery. Like, there was
not realistic.
Yeah. Logical, realistic thinking behind any of that. And I just started, I guess, being nicer to myself all around.
Okay.
About, like, 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
Actually, just kind of when I started the business, because I was working for the firm, and my boss was a monster, and I was miserable. And so it was almost like an abusive relationship.
Oh,
I was like, and I just felt like I couldn't go because there was, what else am I going to do? What am I qualified to do except be the assistant to this insane person? Like, I have no other qualifications. And I just, like, my self-esteem was so low. And I'm like, I don't know that I can sustain myself doing this flower stuff. And it took
it's a big leap.
Yeah. It took me many, many years. And even still now, I still sort of question myself sometimes and get nervous, but I'm much, much better. But I was just like, every time I would send an invoice to a client, I would be like, send, and be like, oh God. And then like, oh shit, they actually paid it. Okay. Like,
just high and low.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's this much money. And I'm like,
it's hard, right? To ask people to pay you for
asking
your own service.
People for what you deserve
is very hard.
To this day.
Yeah.
And I can't, like,
I
someone will tell me, like, if what the magic time is and when that goes away, because it does not. Like, to this day, I will, like, suck it up and be like, it's $10,000, and they'll be like, okay, and I'm like, oh shit, you know, and they're like, yeah, they should have said 15. Like,
I just talked about that, like, it's really hard. I talked about this on one of the other podcasts, and I, like, it's really hard to ask. I found it always much easier to ask for a raise because I'd be like, well, here's the reason why I need the raise. And
right.
It's not the other person's money, typically. Like, you're not asking the owner of the company for the raise. Like, I always work for big corporations.
Right.
But when I went out on my own and I now have to say, well, here's my hourly raise.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to bill you. And there's, like, nobody else. It's not because, well, my boss told me, or that's what the firm says. Like, that's just the way it works.
Right.
It's, like, just me making up. And so I'm hoping you're going to say yes. So it's, yeah, really nerve-wracking.
It's extremely nerve-wracking. And, it doesn't get easier.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't.
I think
get easier.
Once you get through a few of them and then, like, you know,
yeah,
they pay, then you're like, okay, I have a good rule of thumb of, like, where I can charge and what it goes for.
I got very fortunate in, I work with a bunch of women who are really wonderful and who are incredibly open and welcoming in the knowledge that they have. And they're just all about, like, let's do this together, guys.
Let's help,
and
yeah,
so they share information because I feel like there's so much, I don't know, embarrassment and shame about asking about it. And so, you know, I would always be so afraid to be like, well, why are you in charge? You know, like, and they're like, no, like,
we should talk about it.
Like,
absolutely.
This is what I do. What do you do? And so I was fortunate that I sort of fell in with them because
that's helpful.
Interior design world is not like that. It's very, like, stab everyone in the back.
Kill everybody.
Himself. Yeah, like, blame whoever you can around you. And you're always like, you know, like this, and to go from that, you know, intense type of work environment to, like, welcome
to the circle of trust,
and I'm like,
help you with your
what's
pricing?
Her ulterior motive, what does she, you know, what does she want from, I remember the first time I worked with them, and they got professional photographs of the thing that we did, and we had no agreement or understanding, like, they paid for that, it's for them, and she just very kindly shared it with me, because it was my work, and she's like, you know, if you want to post it, feel free, but just, you know, credit the photographer. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, what?
You're nice?
What? You're just like, what? She's being generous and sharing this? But I was just like, what does she want? What's the motive? But, you know,
what
just,
are you looking for?
Yeah, it took me a while to calm the fuck down,
yeah,
basically. Anyway, so when I...
okay, so you started being kind to yourself.
I started being kind to myself. I left that job. I started,
your
you know,
business.
Seeing a therapist, going to the gym.
All those, like,
you know, normal life things.
Mental
and
health things.
I was making a concerted effort to really do something about this diet.
Yeah.
And so I kept seeing the ads for this program. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to look into it. And so I called. They listened to the spiel. And I'm just like, what's the catch? And just,
right,
you know. Even when I signed off on it, I still was like, somehow they're gonna get me. They're gonna get me. Like, I didn't trust it, even though I was like going through the program. And so basically what they do is they go, they negotiate
on your behalf, right?
On my behalf, and then while that's happening, they set up a auto pay from my account. And so they asked me, like, what are you comfortable spending every month? Like, what do you pay right now? Mm-hmm. And so from that, which I thought was very helpful, they broke it up into the beginning and the end of the month. So it's like smaller little bits
rather than a bigger chunk.
Right. And then they put that away into an account, mm-hmm. so that once the settlement was made, they can make a huge
one-time payment,
and then you continue to pay that off until it's paid off, and then you have to pay their fee, which is exorbitant. But it ends up being much, 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 much less than what the actual
credit card debt was,
and also just...
And it gets you out from under it, because otherwise, if it gets...
Yeah, and it's, like, structured in a way that I think it's quite possible, definitely possible, for someone to do on their own, mm-hmm. but I wasn't motivated enough to do that on my own, and so it just made it easier. And so without thinking about it now, this money is just automatically being deducted out of my account, and it's going into the payment, and next thing you know, as 2 years have gone by, it's like, oh shit, it's paid off, we're done.
That's great.
But...
There's always a little catch.
There's always a but, and so I thought I was free and clear, and
I can tell you what the but is.
Yeah, I know that.
The but. So tell us the but.
The but is, I just got a letter, April 1st, in the mail that's like, oh, guess what? This is a 1099 form. You have to declare the charged-off debt as income. And I was like,
So what you, for income, that means that they are going to tax you on it. That's what's, mm-hmm. It's great they forgave it. It's great that you went through the program and you paid everything off to the private company, and then they discharge a portion of your debt. But when they discharge a portion of your debt, the way it's treated with our mm-hmm. tax code, which is the same way also for student loans, if those, any sort of thing that gets forgiven mm-hmm. is then treated as income, so you owe taxes on them. So they give you
April 1st. April 1st, I've already done my taxes.
So now you have to redo your taxes.
So then I had to go back, make an amendment to it, and it also messed up a whole bunch of things because I was getting a small refund, and we took that refund and put it towards my quarterly payment. And now all that's messed up because now...
Your accountant must have been thrilled.
He was like... I was more mad. He was calming me down because he was like, this is a good thing. We don't have the debt anymore. It's a good thing. Yes. This is annoying, but, you know,
it's 100% true.
And I was like, but, you know, when you're bringing someone in to do this program, there should be a major thing that you say, like, hey, by the way, at the end of this, there's going to be a huge tax payment you're going to have to make on this. You should be prepared for
just
it.
Just so that you're mentally prepared.
Yeah. Right now, all of a sudden, it's like, record.
We take that, your refund is over, we take that right back.
Well, just like, you know, I'm anxious about anything with money because even though all of this is paid off, like, I'm now not sitting on this, like, mountain of money. Like, I'm now on a base of, you know, neutral. You know, I'm 43, still hard to get out of my mouth, 43, and I am just now, this week, opening retirement savings, which is just wild because I'm like, so behind the eight ball with that stuff. And so, you know, I'm having to all of a sudden think about all these things. And, you know, $5,000 is a lot of money that I would like to put away so that I can
for
live
retirement.
When I'm an old hag and I can't carry flowers anymore. You know, and now all of a sudden it has to go to the United States government where it's just like, what the fuck? And so I'm like, I can wrap my mind around sort of the reasoning behind it, but like, had I gone into this prepared and known that this was coming down the pike, it would have been such a shock.
Yeah, when you get the thing on April 1st after you did your taxes.
After I've already done my taxes, so thanks for nothing, Civic. but I just, so that left a bad taste in my mouth with this company. Like, before that, I was actually recommending it to people. I'm like, this is great. You should definitely do it.
I definitely think the program is a good idea for certain people who meet, like you said, if you didn't think you'd be able to do it on your own mm-hmm. and you have a lot of debt to get out of, it's better, I think, than doing a bankruptcy.
It's sort of like buying pre-chopped vegetables at Trader Joe's.
I don't know that that was the first analogy that came to my mind, but I like it.
Do you know, like, it's cheaper if you buy the butternut squash
and
as
chop
a whole.
It yes, I agree.
And chop it your damn self.
Or the zucchini noodles. And
zucchini
just,
noodles,
you
yeah.
You should just spiralize it yourself. Or
right.
You could buy it.
But, you know what? It's already there, and it's already spiralized
right.
for you, and it's, like, $5 more, but...
It's ready to go.
It's ready to go, and now I'm eating that as opposed to ordering, you
pizza.
Know, pizza.
Yeah.
So...
It's a win-win.
All of my analogies go back to food. That's how I understand things.
Okay, so let's talk about this retirement savings. So I'm excited for you. So this is your first. You got rid of all your debt, which is huge. You had your own.
Oh. Oh, not only did I do that. Sorry, yeah. I want you to be impressed
yeah.
with me.
Okay.
So I listened to Susie Orman.
Oh, Susie Orman.
Susie, that baddie lady. So I have a... emergency savings fund.
High five. Good job. I am
so
proud of you.
I was told before I do anything, the order of things in which I need to do them is pay off my debt, have at least 6 to 9 months
perfect
of set aside,
yep.
and then go into retirement savings.
100% agree.
So I've paid off all my debt. I have
emergency
9 months emergency fund
fantastic.
Saved, and now I just open my...
I love emergency funds, and I feel like sometimes on the podcast, well, I feel like now the listeners are getting to know that I like emergency funds, but they'll mm-hmm. say, like, oh, well, I have this money, should I, like, do something with it? I'm like, no, just stays right there. It's your emergency fund.
Well, the only thing I did with it, which...
And it's good with your business.
Yeah.
It's more important with your business, and it...
Well,
because
God forbid,
yeah.
I break my shoulder,
or
whatever.
Or something. Or there's just a bad month. You have cash
yeah.
available to get through. Oh, because what I didn't ask. What's so you bring in about $2,600 with your regular income, not including any of the freelance work you
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
And your monthly expenses
are about $2,200.
About $2,200. Okay, so that covers all that. And then what's your rent?
$890.
Whoa! How did you? What?
Well, and that was the other thing. So I paid off all that debt, and then my boyfriend moved into my apartment.
So this was like a windfall.
And I was like, I am rich, you guys. I'm just like, sweet dreams every day for lunch. I'm like living the life, like gel manicures, like fuck it. Yeah.
That's amazing. So you're
yeah.
cut in half.
But now I have to just like slow my roll.
Well, now we're going to talk about, we're going to go dive right into your retirement.
Jeez, God. Okay.
So you just are getting started on $890. Wow, that is.
$890, I know.
That is.
Listen, I've been in that apartment for 4,000 years.
I just like looked at it in my notes and just had to repeat it.
I will never leave. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast because she has no idea. Like, we just have like a good, like, I don't bother you. You don't bother me. We're chill. Like I'm, that whole apartment, I'm sure, is like held together by a wish and a prayer. But it's fine. This is why my relationship is gonna last because we have it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment.
Wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on. And I also just have to say the producer Potter is just like, holy shit! How are you living in New York
yeah.
with a 3-bedroom?
My mind is blown
bathroom,
over here.
3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. So there is 2 separate rooms.
So it's 1,800 total.
1780.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You're never leaving.
No, absolutely
ever.
Not. Like, I have this delusion of like, we're gonna move into a new place together.
Like, start
we're a couple
fresh. Yeah.
And start fresh. I've been here for so long, blah, blah, blah. And I looked for like legitimately looked for 2 weeks and I was like,
never leaving.
This is what's gonna happen. You're gonna move to my apartment. It's like double, if not triple the price.
What do you do with all those rooms? I lived in a 1-bedroom, which I thought was really glamorous.
This is the thing. I've been in that apartment for so long now, I'm used to the space. Like, I can't downgrade now. Like, the only way to go was up. Like, you know, like, we have to move to, like, something that has, like, an attic or a basement or something. There's just way too much shit. Well, one of the front bedroom is actually the office.
Okay.
So it's where I have all of my tools and my vases.
And you get to write off
stuff.
Part of your apartment,
yeah.
too. So it's actually even cheaper than $890.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's wild.
You win for having the best rent price
yeah.
for, like,
definitely.
The size of the apartment.
Yeah. Cora,
I don't
you're not
a,
listening.
I don't have a price for that. But we can make sure.
So the other bedroom is just the guest bedroom.
Okay.
And then the
That's
master.
So fancy.
Yeah. Like, I have so many closets, but managed to build a wall. But so we have two separate rooms with television. So right now, like, he can watch wrestling, which he's watching right now, and I can be in the other room watching Housewives and no bitty fights. Two whole separate bathrooms for him to do whatever the hell he wants, and I don't have to know about it. And then also, when he moved in, because I hate washing dishes, he bought a dishwasher.
Wow.
I've never had a dishwasher in my whole entire life on this earth, and I promise you I cried. Like, the
I love
plumber,
when you're like, student loans went away, you're like, no,
nothing.
Like, nothing.
The
nothing.
Dishwasher. The plumber installed it, and I was just standing there, and I was, like, filming it for Instagram stories, and I'm weeping in the background. I'm like, guys, this is, like, the height of luxury. I'm rich. I have a dishwasher. We're never breaking up. Like, what are we fighting over? Nothing. There's nothing to fight over.
Nothing to fight over.
Yes. So.
And so how did you, so when you, he just moved in?
He's now been there a year.
Okay. Because over this, you paid off.
This was the middle of last year. Yes.
When you paid off all your debt. Mm-hmm. So how did you figure out the finances? And I also want to make sure we get to your retirement. So really quickly, okay. How did you figure out, because I think the listeners like to know, how did you figure out how you're going to break down the finances?
What do you mean?
Like with your boyfriend moving in. You just figured out 50-50 on the rent, and then you just split everything else?
It's just 50-50 on the rent, and we split cable and electric, and then
okay. That's
it.
And you keep everything else separate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I am, part of the reason actually why I'm, like, doing the retirement fund and getting my shit together, for lack of a better word, is because he is so buttoned up with stuff like that. And we are actually very serious, and I'm planning on spending my life with him. And I felt this huge amount of guilt that I didn't want to bring this into our future.
Sure,
right. I wanted to come in with a clean slate so that, like, if someday I ever leave this apartment, which not likely, and we buy a house, like, I want to be able to be an equal partnership with that and not be a hindrance or an anchor that's going to, like, mess it up for us because I have this, you know.
Financial woes.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, so the retirement, so the perfect segue into the retirement.
Yes.
Okay. So, who told you about retirement?
So, the young man who does my taxes,
okay.
His dad did my taxes for many, many, many years, and he, much to my dismay, retired.
I hate when they do that.
Absolutely had a panic attack. And then handed me his son to now take over, who I also, much to my dismay, in the middle of him doing my taxes, found out that he was a Trump supporter.
Oh.
And I had a very huge moral dilemma.
And then he also told you owed more money.
No, this was last year.
Okay.
So last year, you know, I was real hyped and pissed. And I also just assume anyone who's within my orbit is on this planet,
right.
Not like a total asshole. And so I was just like saying something snarky about, like, man, that fucking whatever. And he then proceeded to go on and on and on about how Trump was going to make it so much better for this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, oh, shit.
Now what?
And I was texting my boyfriend. I'm like, do I leave? He's in the middle of doing it. Like, what do I do? What do I do? We have agreed to disagree that we are just never going to talk about stuff like that.
I think that's probably a good idea.
But he's, you know, very good about, it's not that I don't trust him, I absolutely trust him. I've been, his dad was doing my taxes for
years. Yeah.
You know, almost 20 years. Since I was a bartender.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So he brought up to you.
So I had brought up to him, I was like, hey, listen, you know, I am finally ready to do this and, like, be proper about my okay, let's talk about it, let's sit down, let's blah, 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 blah. So we went through all the different options, and, you know, he's throwing out terms and words, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I just had to, like, put blind faith into what he's saying is the right thing to do. And his whole thing is, like, let's make the most amount of money.
Right.
Which, you know.
So he does taxes and investments.
Yes.
Okay. So everything will be with him.
So everything has been with him, but I, at this point, don't know that I will feel comfortable in the future having that be. Because
okay.
My boyfriend actually goes to a financial planner, which
okay.
I don't even know what you said at the beginning what you do. I don't even know what he does. He just calls him Dan, so I just know Dan. Like, do you want to go see Dan? And I never wanted to go see Dan because I was like, what the fuck am I going to talk about with Dan? I owe $8 jillion. I have, like, you know, coins that I collect that I take down to TD Bank and get excited when I, you know, can cash it in. Like, that was my savings, was this coffee can of loose change. So, like, when I'm like, what? Anyway, so I have a comfortable rapport with him enough.
Okay.
Despite the
Trump supporter.
So he takes care of my quarterlies, my sales tax.
Okay.
And so he was just like, let's set it up. I can do it for you.
Yeah, because there's two real big options for since you're a business owner, and you said your business is an LLC.
Yes.
Okay. So you can either usually do, and you're the only employee, right?
Correct.
So usually you would do a SEP or a simple.
Right.
So the two main options, and so they're basically, the way to think about it is, it's like a traditional IRA, but you have a higher amount you can put in. So small businesses usually do a simple IRA or a SEP IRA.
Right.
So what did he say?
So originally when we had the conversation, this is what threw me off, and
okay.
That's why I always get super nervous, and I don't understand things fully, so I'm already, like, on high alert.
Right.
Initially when we had the conversation, when we were doing my taxes, he's like, let's do a SEP, because you can put more money into it.
You can put more money.
And so he was like, as long as you have the money
to
put away, let's do it. So I was like, rad, sounds good, let's do this. And so then when I have to go back and see him to revise my taxes because of this, you know,
this
1-2 punch.
Yeah, the debt discharge.
The other reason for that meeting was for us to go over the options. And then he presented this whole different option to me. And I was like, wait, hold on. Why are we doing that? Why did you switch it? And so then that makes me nervous because then I'm like, is he taking advantage of me? What's the reason?
Right.
And I already, like,
all the
alarms went off. And he was just like, no, because it ends up working out better if you do it this way, because you get tax credit and you can put more. I think 5,500 was the max that you can put in with the traditional.
With the traditional IRA.
And somehow my income amount changed for whatever, and so it's 25%, or I don't remember what the percentage was for a SEP.
Yep, so you do 25% of your self-employment income.
Right, so it ended up being, I could put more if I do it this way.
Okay.
But I remember him saying that I could put 6,500 or what. That was like the magic number I had in my mind if we did the SEP. And so I got very thrown when he suddenly was like, no, this is the better option. Do this.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of moving pieces. And he's doing your taxes, which is good, so he can tell you, like, how it's going to affect you tax-wise. But you probably, your three main options would be either be just do a traditional IRA, which is just the 5,500.
Right.
Which is not going to be enough to save. So you're going to want to use one of the other small business plans. So either the simple or the SEP. And the reason a lot of business owners don't do the SEP is with other employees, and the company has the obligation to then put the same amount in for everybody, which can be a big obligation if you had an employee that if you're going to put away $10,000, then you have to put $10,000 away for them. And as you know, as a business owner, you're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to have the revenue.
Right.
So that's why I usually, if you're going to use
it for myself.
Yeah, I know, right? Let alone for somebody else.
Jeez Louise.
I know. So the SEP lets you put in the most amount of money. The simple has a lower amount but higher than the traditional IRA. So that amount that you can put in is $12,500 for the 2018 tax year, I believe. But he can confirm. That's the max you can put in. And then your company would put in money for you too, which is all your same money.
Mm-hmm.
So he said now the simple is better for you. Is that what he came back with?
I may be calling it. See, I didn't even know. I'm calling that the simple because then my boyfriend was like, well, is it a Roth? And I was like, no, it's not a Roth.
Yeah, so we'll do the Roth too. So do you want me to draw this out?
Probably.
Okay.
Because then he was also saying there, some of the investments were on retirement timelines. And he was like, I don't recommend you do that because...
I call those autopilot.
Yeah.
So like they put your target retirement date, and then they just pick all your investments based on that retirement date.
Right.
Yeah, so it's autopilot.
Right. So this one he was showing me...
And that's inside. So first you have to pick your structure. So think about it. You like food. I'm trying to think how can I relate this to
food.
How can I relate this to food? I'm trying to think. I'm like failing on it, but I'm trying to think if there's a
like
food.
The food groups.
Yeah. Okay. So there would be like your food groups, and then like inside. So like if we were going to go to the produce section, right? So you know like all your fruits and vegetables over there.
Yeah.
So you have to like decide if you want to go for fruits or you want to go for vegetables. So. Right. First, you have to figure out what your category is. So the categories are either going to be a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. Traditional IRA.
So it's not Roth. I know that.
Okay. And then, okay, so those are your, like, two do-it-your DIY options.
Right.
Those are the cut the vegetables and fruit up yourself. And then you have, like, the in-a-box for a small business all pre-chopped up, and that would be either a simple or a step. Does that make sense on a high level? Awesome.
Yeah.
And then from there, once we pick your category, mm-hmm. now you know what you're in, mm-hmm. then from there, inside of there are the investments.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, but only very, very loosely. Like, okay. It's only because he sat down with me and he explained this to me, and then he opened it up and showed me, like, within that, where the two mutual funds that we are putting it towards, and then within that, like, where it's going to.
Okay. And do you know what a mutual fund is?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But at the time of the meeting, when he was explaining this all to me, like, tears are coming out of my eyes. Because I just, like, I understand, like, I kept stopping him and asking him questions, but then I just realized that I kept having him go back and back and back to the point where it was like, I need you to, like, start with the alphabet because I don't know what you're saying.
Right, I don't know what you're talking about.
And he's throwing out all these terms, and I'm like, it's not that I live on this planet. Like, I've heard them before.
Right.
You know, like, I'll watch New York One in the morning, and
they say
Monica
it.
Ferguson yeah. saying it to me every morning, but I'm like, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. Like, it never meant, it didn't, like. It
doesn't mean anything.
It just seemed like this other world. Like, okay. Anything with the stock market or, you know, savings seemed like such a faraway land. Like, I'm going to be a ballerina on the moon before that happens. And so now that it's, like, a real
it's here.
Thing,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, now I have to understand what this means. I really don't understand what it means. And so I went home and I cried. And
I'm loving what I'm looking at.
Okay.
These are some of my favorite things.
So I got, you know, a brief explanation. And then the thing that made me feel a little bit better is that, you know, I asked him, I was like, so I'm not tied to this forever. Like, so if I decide that I want to take this and I want to go, mm-hmm. like, because I was looking at, like, if I suddenly just felt like, you know, I wanted to be a socially responsible human being.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at all of the companies that I'm putting my money into. It's like Home Depot and Lockheed Martin and JPMorgan Chase. And I'm like, if I suddenly just want to be like, I want to give it to, like, an environmentally sustainable, like, solar panel company. He was like, yes, of course you could do that. Yeah. I'll tell you, you're not going to make as much money as you will on this.
Unfortunately,
the
social investing hasn't made as much money. But, yeah, you're not tied. You're not tied to it.
I'm not tied to it.
Your name is on the account. You can choose the investments.
I can choose it. And he's like, and we can take this and we can roll it into something else. Yeah. Or, you know, if I suddenly decide that he's the devil and I can't associate with anyone who supports that man and I want to go see Dan or you or somebody else.
The Dan guy.
It can go. This is not like...
It's portable.
It's not in blood and stone and whatever. And so I was like, okay. So then
it
sort of
made
me feel better because I'm beginning the process, which is long, long, long overdue.
It is a process.
And I need to, like, get the ball rolling and then I can take time. And I wanted to sit down with somebody who I have no relationship with, like, mm-hmm. not him.
Yeah, like a second opinion.
Certainly not my boyfriend. I like to keep dating him. But somebody else who I can be like,
I am
a dummy. Please explain this to me in terms that I can understand, or like as slow as you possibly can, because I just don't get it.
Well, so you are on the right path. So I'm glad that you're setting up a work savings plan.
Yes.
Because it's important. Because the thing with running a business is the money comes in, the money goes out, and you forget to set the things up for you. So you're totally on track. So I will look over. You brought some lovely tax return papers. So I will do that for you post podcast.
Cool.
Because the listeners can't see any of that.
It's really
so. It gets a little
beautiful folder, and it has pie charts.
Yep, and lots of definitions.
There's all these words. There's a picture of the check that I wrote.
That's proof that you did it.
$5,500.
Whoa.
Which, you know, I think for some people that doesn't seem like a large sum of money, but for me, like, that's a lot of money.
It's all about getting going, so this is perfect. So I will take a look at all that. So I always like to ask what the biggest stressor is with money, because I think it's interesting to hear. So if you had to pick one, because your face is saying it all.
I don't know. I think...
Was it having the loans that...
That definitely was it, because it seemed like a... just a mountain that I could never get past. And I was saying this to actually my therapist this week, is that, you know, now that it's done, I wished and dreamed and imagined that moment for so long. And now that it's actually here, I don't feel any different. And I feel like a really, really heavy person who lost a bunch of weight but still sees themselves as a heavy person.
Right.
That's exactly what I feel like. Like, it's like, I don't have this I think it's albatross on my neck, but I don't feel...
I think it's a process for that feeling to come because it took so long. I mean, it took 20 years. Think about that.
Yeah.
You were carrying that around with you for 20 years. And kind of, I think it's a great analogy. You have really good analogies. My food analogy with, like, the produce section sucks.
Fat and food.
Yeah. So, like, if that's true, like, they don't... When you lose all that weight, it's not an overnight thing. That's you have to get used to your new body and your new... Right? Yeah. Everything's new. So this is new for you to not have that.
It's still very scary. And also, it's not, like, a familiar... habitual thing for me. Like, I was not raised in a household where this is something that was preached to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my boyfriend, like, by example, is very much always, like, he didn't have any student loan debt. And he, you know, has had, like, I don't even know how many different friggin' funds and things that he has. Like, I think he has, like, already, like, $1 million in retirement savings. And I'm like, what the? I'm like, my retirement saving is marrying you. You're going to be taking care of my ass because, like, Jesus Christ, like, what? And so that's why I feel just, like, this immense amount of embarrassment and shame that I'm an adult woman who has her own business. But still, I'm, like, you know, I have this, like, I call it my Eastern European sort of savings technique. I don't know how to explain it. It's, like, in my DNA where I, like, hoard away little sums of money, and that's what I feel comfortable with. You know what I mean? Like, I'll have jars of coins, or I have, like, you know, like a couple $100 like in my underwear drawer and shit like that, because it's just like that's what my mom did. My mom always had, like, her emergency 10, and, like,
right,
my grandmother always had, like, this unending amount of fucking change all over her apartment. Like, it was just like, where did you get this from? Like, every time we'd see her, she'd give us a handkerchief tied with, like, just, like, a mound of change that she would, like, dump down on our laps. And she would say, like, the Kingaburger. Or for ice cream, like, whatever it was. But she just, like, always had change. And it's, like, this, you know...
That was your mentality.
Like, World War II sort of pined away type of thing, but not, you know, put it in the stock market or in banks because you don't trust it.
Yeah, a lot of this behavior is learned, right?
Yeah.
So it's, like, what you grew... What you, no one teaches it. You don't take personal finance classes in high school or in college.
Just bonkers.
Bullshit. And no one talks about it, right? So you can't, like, say to your girlfriend, like, so, like, how much did you have in retirement savings? Like, what do you think? Like, no one talks about it.
Nobody talks about it.
Which is the whole reason we do the podcast. But I think, I don't think you should feel embarrassed or ashamed at all about it. And I know that it's something you have to, like, work through. But I think getting the retirement savings set up and having all this debt paid off, I think you'll start to feel more confident and proud of what you've accomplished. Just being a business owner and having a successful business that can support you and help you save for retirement is huge. So you should be proud of that.
What's interesting is a friend of mine sent somebody who wanted to pick my brain. They wanted to, like, have a career change and wanted to look to me for advice, which I just thought was, like, the funniest thing ever. I was like, you want to talk to me about that? I was like, ugh. And so I sat down with this guy and I ended up, you know, you have to go through your story, your history, and then towards the end of it, it was, like, more beneficial for me, because I was just like,
you
know
what? You're saying it out loud, you're telling
your
story.
Yeah, you're like, shit, bitch, like, you did it.
I did
it, you know? Like,
yeah.
I am at a really comfortable place in my career where I can turn down work if I don't want to do it, and I, you know, have a certain level of respect with certain people, and, you know, I do have a name and a reputation that's good, and
this is a business, like, the difference with having owning your own business, doing something you love, as you said, you still have joy going to the farm.
Exactly.
It's never something you're going to retire from. You're not gonna, like, as someone working for a corporation is gonna say, like, at 65 I am done and then I wanna go live my life.
Exactly.
You are building a business that you are passionate about, that you love, and you'll never retire. You will always probably do something in it. And so I would just be proud of the fact that you built this business around something that you love that's successful. And then the business can help you get to retirement because you can say, okay, for the next 10 years, I'm going to take on extra jobs during my busy time. And all of that money is going to be retirement. Or something like that.
At a certain point, like, I will have to do a shift where I'm not doing the actual physical labor anymore.
We're hiring people.
I have to hire people to do the dirty work.
Yeah.
Which I can foresee happening.
You can totally, and that's something that's great with therapists, and that's probably something you could talk I'm sure about, like, how, where do you see your business going in 5 or 10 years, and what would make you happy, and what would be the income.
But I didn't ever have the mental clarity to think about that
until
I
all
had
the other
this
stuff.
Huge weight that I was dragging around behind me. So
yeah,
it was just
literally weight.
Are you, how can you possibly think about a retirement savings? It's laughable. Like, what are you going to put into that?
Right. But now, yes, it'll take a while for your mindset because it hasn't even been a year yet with all these changes.
No, absolutely not. And like, I literally, like, the ink isn't even dry on the check that I just
right.
handed over to
you. Which I'll take a look at
so,
all of that.
Like, but the thing, I don't like going into something like that with having no knowledge of it.
I agree.
It makes me nervous and it makes me feel like I'm vulnerable to be taken advantage of.
100%.
So right now it just sounds like science fiction to me. I'm like, well, where does the money go?
No. Right, because you write a check and like you don't get anything.
And I was like, I don't understand. Where is it going? And then I was like, and then what happens when I do retire? Like, does like a bunch of money just fall in my lap? Like, does it go into a state? Like, what happens? I'm like, give me the full picture.
The full rundown.
And honestly, anyone I've asked that question, like, they've all been like, well, I don't actually know. And I'm like, the fuck, guys? Like, why don't you know? That's like $1 million that you have sitting in like outer space. What happens when you turn 65? Like, does it go into your checking account? Like, what happens?
So nothing happens. So what happens is you can take the money. It becomes like a bank account for you. So like normally what we do for people that when they hit retirement is we figure out what their budget is, how much they have saved, or can they retire? Let's say yes, they can. And then you would just set up the retirement account to send you a distribution on like a monthly basis or every other month, however you want to do it.
Sort of like a paycheck.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, but to give it like the simple answer, it can get like the retirement plan. It can get pretty complicated.
See, that's why I'm like every time I ask that question, they're like, "Well," I'm like, "Why don't you know?" Like, I see you want me to give you all this money and put it into a magical cloud.
So it comes out. So if you said to your guy, "Hey, I'm retiring and I want you to send me, you know, $2,000 a month from a retirement account," he'll say, "Yeah, it can sustain that. I'll send you one on the 15th or the 30th or whatever." And
right.
Take taxes out, works like a paycheck.
But it's still in these funds where it's trading and whatever.
Well, they
and
might
can go up and down.
Well, you'll probably have them be more conservative then. So
okay.
Your money when
okay.
you're when you're growing your money looks different than when you're spending your money.
Okay.
So think about it, it's two different animals. One, we're growing your money, so
mm-hmm.
it's going to be more aggressive and a little bit more risky. And then when you get to retirement, it has to look different because the account has a different function. Now it has to support you. So the investments have to look
okay.
different for that
okay.
versus you are growing it. But that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. Jeez Louise.
So we have to wrap it up.
Okay.
It was great to meet you, Sonia.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on. I hope I answered all your questions.
I'm going to ask you more questions.
Okay, great.
The mic goes off.
Okay. So we're not done.
Full of questions.
We got lots of questions today. And some of the stuff we went over today you can find on my class, which is at financial.com. I have an online class. It's a basics class to kind of go over so you, like you said,
yes.
So you don't get taken advantage of.
No, this is
yeah.
one of the questions I was going to ask you because you don't learn it anywhere.
No, so I teach,
and where do you go?
I teach a class and it's...
Sign me up.
Yeah, it's 15 minutes a day for 7 days and it goes over all the basics.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
So
take
my
money.
I plug it on the podcast. So thank you for telling
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no,
to take
I will
it.
Absolutely do that because I know nothing.
And I designed
nothing.
The whole workbook and it's really colorful and pretty. And you're in the arts, so maybe you'll like it.
I'll judge it.
Yeah, you can judge it.
Judging.
I'm a wannabe artist. So yeah, check out the online class. And I don't ever know how to end this podcast, so I'm just going to say later.
Save your money.
Save your money.
Don't.